So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight. Oh.
Listen to Review Man.
Way, what did you think of Trish Stratus and Lita live in studio?
I thought it was amazing. They looked great. They smelled great.
Yeah, you can still have a whiff of what they were wearing here in the studio as they have left.
We're sitting in the exact same seats, using the same microphones used by Trish Stratus and Lita.
Yeah, these mics are worth something, though.
Yes, I can't believe it.
A great tie-in for our show because both ladies having tracks on the 2004 release of WWE Originals that we're going to review today.
Yes, exactly. What is this? What is the WWE Originals?
Well, Wei, first of all, the first thing it was a brilliant pick by you last week to review. I am very much looking forward to this show today.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteeing that it will now be terrible.
Yeah.
But, we don't want to set our sights too high here.
No.
But WWE Originals was a CD that the WWE released January of 2004. And unlike their previous albums over the past couple of years where it was just theme music that is very boring, I found, this is the talent performing original songs.
Mm-hmm.
So much like when the WWF did like their Pile Driver album or what was it? They had another one in there, the wrestling album or something like that, where it was original music from the talent, which I always thought was much more interesting than simply buying theme songs, which would never fly today because, I mean, that's on YouTube.
Well, so, sure it would.
Would you buy an album of theme music?
I don't really buy albums, period. I just download.
That's horrible, Wei. That's horrible. But you listen to a lot of obscure stuff, and I don't think... You go to a lot of live events, though, a lot of concerts.
I did in the past, not as much recently, but yes, sure. Would you not go see a live cover band perform these wrestling theme songs? Shh. You know?
If they were, if there was a concert where they were playing I Don't Suck, I would totally go.
This is a great idea for a cover band. Did you hear that there's this... female Weezer cover band in Toronto called Sheezer.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
They exist.
Do they do...
Sheezer.
Are all the songs, like, just play on words with the original songs, or do they just,
they just do straight covers? Yeah, they just do straight covers.
It's like, instead of hash pipe, it would be like...
What?
Well, pipe is generally reserved for, like, male genitalia, I'm trying to think of.
What?
Yeah.
You're weird. You think of weird things.
Okay, let's get into this review right now, okay? WWE Originals. It's better be good Wei, because...
Yeah, by the Wei, for those looking forward to the R-Truth rap contest...
That's coming up at the end, everybody.
Yes.
So, you gotta at least get through this or fast forward. You have the power, remember that. Now, this album, Wei, there were, just looking at the track, 17 tracks on this CD.
Half of them are, like, just Stone Cold Steve Austin talking.
Yeah, Austin's all over this, like, just with, in between, like, you change the lyrics, drink your beer.
Yeah.
Don't that taste good?
Anyway, this CD was released in, what, like, January of 2004?
Yes.
So, storyline-wise, this was a time in the WWE when, I think this was still around the time Brock Lesnar was still around. Eddie was
Why didn't Brock have a song? Do you know how wicked a Brock song would have been today?
Are you kidding me?
Off this?
What kind of style would he have done?
It would have to be like some kind of F5 theme, like a hurricane or...
Okay.
I'm the next like big thing.
Like a rap?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar rapping.
B-Rock Lesnar. I don't know.
B-Rock.
I am not. Let's just, for anyone that is new to this show, Way is like a musical encyclopedia.
No, I'm not.
Just, you have a very good knowledge base of the...
So do you.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You're a real connoisseur of...
Listen to a lot of stuff, but if you told me right now...
They're rude.
Like, people will tell me, yeah, like, Sandstorm. They're like, well, that's a shitty song. I don't know why that's a shitty song. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Well, you know why you like it.
Yeah, but I've always felt my musical tastes don't necessarily jive with most people. Like, pop shit, I enjoy. Like, in 2000, I listened to NSYNC, and I thought that was fine.
Sure.
And everyone, oh, that shit's gay. I never thought it was. I thought it was catchy and poppy. It
doesn't have to jive with anybody. It's all subjective. You like whatever you like.
It's like a wrestling match, way. Where you'll hear people say, oh, they did too many spots. Or if the crowd is going nuts for a match, it works. That's mm-hmm. my barometer for a good match.
Sure.
For when it goes to like movies and stuff, people criticize Titanic. But to me, it's like, how can you not call that a successful movie? It's the highest generated movie of all time. And therefore, I don't give a shit if it didn't tell a message or if it was just some love story. A lot of people went to go watch this movie. So how is it a bad movie? What is your definition? It always comes down to money for me.
No. Oh, yeah. You're very business-minded when it comes to a lot of things.
That's why I want to see Sylvan Sun, and I'm very happy they're doing the rematch.
Me too. But that one for me is just from a fanatical perspective.
Yeah,
I agree. Excited.
Just before you go on to your point, will you watch a UFC show on New Year's Eve? Because that's what they're proposing they may do.
It would really depend on who the people I was with would want to do.
I hate New Year's Eve, and I'm so stoked about a UFC being on New Year's Eve.
I would.
I think that's fantastic news.
But would they actually go over midnight? With the event?
I would imagine they wouldn't fuck with the time.
They would actually do the
unless countdown. They decided for one night started an hour earlier.
In Japan, they would actually have the countdown during the broadcast, wouldn't they?
I would love if they synced it up to the countdown right before the main event.
You can't do that.
And then you promote the first fight of the year.
You can't do that because of the time zones.
Yeah, that sucks. Sucks. That's a lot.
I would love it if they synced it so that the a knockout blow or a submission came right at the stroke of midnight.
Could happen. There's a potential for the Eastern time zone.
No, yeah, impossible. That impossible.
I'm super looking forward to that. We got off on a tangent there. We're talking about everything but this CD right now.
Anyway, in terms of business, how did this CD fare? Any idea?
I would imagine not well. I meant to look it up, actually, and I didn't see numbers. But WWE CDs, traditionally, they start off with a modicum of success in the first week, and then they fall off a cliff in week two.
I remember hearing back, during the really hot period, like 98, whenever one of their...
WWF the music volume 3
or something. Yeah. When one of those came out, didn't that chart on Billboard, didn't those do very well?
I think so. At the hot period, they had like volume 3 and volume 4 came out. And I remember them, doing okay.
Those did pretty well.
All right, well let's get into this because, first of all, Wei, I want to thank you because last night I got home super late and I still had to review this. And I was like, fuck, man, if there had been a pay-per-view, I would have been fucked. Granted, I probably wouldn't have left it to the last minute. But this, it was just very easy to get through. It never dragged for me. It was just, it was like a 30-minute DVD where they picked select tracks on the CD to profile and kind of a quick little 4-minute chapter on each performer and coming into the studio. And
this was a behind-the-scenes DVD that came packaged with the CD itself.
So you listened to the entire CD, right?
I consciously made an effort to listen first and then watch the DVD because I wanted the music for me to speak for itself. And I also knew that once I saw this behind-the-scenes DVD, I would start to feel bad about making fun of a lot of these terrible songs because you could just see how nervous these people were.
They were incredibly nervous, some of them.
They were nervous.
Yeah.
They were doing it out of character, too. This was all kayfabe-free. So you got to see the real sides of these performers.
Yeah. So we start the DVD with Jonathan Coachman, who is hosting this, and we hear Word Life, the instrumental in the background. And he compares, I believe it's Trish Stratus to Madonna and John Cena to Eminem. And then he says that he's going to try and find Jim Johnson later in this half hour and get his own track on the CD. So we have a storyline throughout this 30-minute companion DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Coachman trying to get a track on the CD you have already bought that clearly shows he does not have a track on the CD. So we get into, and it just goes performer by performer discussing their song. And we start off with Trish Stratus and the song, I Just Want You.
Sorry to call so late. I was missing you and I just wanted to talk. Maybe we can talk tomorrow.
Make up your mind. Don't you want me like I want to feel that touch that haunts me every night.
How would you describe this song, John?
I like Trish a lot. Very, very nice person.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? This was, she herself called it a slow process. Sorry, Jim Johnson said it was a slow process of getting her comfortable in the studio. Trish noted that Jim did a very good job of getting her into her comfort zone. And Trish pretty much doesn't beat around the bush saying that this track is heavily, heavily produced.
Heavily, heavily produced.
There's like, clearly, you would not even recognize her voice, as you could hear off the top there.
Yes, there was clearly a lot of auto-tuning going on here. Her voice, it doesn't even sound human, much less like Trish Stratus.
Throughout each track, I noted kind of the more memorable lyrics of the song. And believe me, some of these songs, there wasn't a whole lot of lyrics to begin with. It was just the same stuff over and over. But Trish has included, So Far Away, Another Night Alone, Another Day, Another Telephone Call Home. But one day, I'm going to find a way to make you stay in my arms till ever after comes. You are the one.
It's just, I laugh because it's you reading these lyrics.
I'm not going to sing it.
Yes. Well, this song is clearly about her loneliness on the WWE road schedule.
I'm going to give a lot of people, though, some leeway on this because they're in a position where it's like, listen, we're putting together this CD. It has nothing to do with what you do for a living, and you're going to have to sing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're being put into a very difficult position. And I can speak to this firsthand.
Yeah, but what what do you mean?
Recently I've been doing improv classes.
Mm-hmm.
And going into this, my fear always is that something would pop up, a game where you'd have to sing or something. And it's never happened until last night. Where we had a supply teacher in who did a warm-up game for us where one person had to stand in the middle of the circle. They were given a word, and then they had to sing a song that reminded them of that word, something that connected. And then as they're singing, you sing along with them. And as soon as you have a song that reminds you of what they're singing, you tap them on the back and you get in to sing. And I hate singing. Mm-hmm. Like, I never get up at karaoke. I hate singing. I'm very bad. But in this situation, I had to participate in this game. So I had to sing Help by the Beatles. I sang that LL Cool J song. He's only got like one.
What song?
That one.
Mama Said Knock You Out?
Nope. Doing it well.
Oh my God.
LL Cool J's easy because he just says the same words over and over again. Look at any of his songs. Something Like a Phenomenon.
Really.
Something Like a Phenomenon. No, he's very unoriginal.
Okay.
Unlike this CD. Anyway, the point being, I was in a situation where I got home and I sympathized with some of these people here.
Mm.
Only my singing was limited to 10 people in an enclosed building in downtown Toronto. And this was on a CD for everyone to hear and for fuckers like us to go back and critique.
Well, hold on. I absolutely understand. I understand where you're coming from. But what we do on the show, take a match like Jenna Maraska versus Charmel. You have Jenna Maraska, who is not a professional wrestler, arguably Charmel not one as well. They're put into a situation where they have to promote TNA, they have to promote whatever, Survivor thing that she was on at the time. She was put in the same circumstances, put into a wrestling match to wrestle in front of a huge audience, and yet we have no problem criticizing her doing something that she was not trained to do.
I'll agree. It was very stupid of TNA to put her in that situation for 6 minutes.
No, was it
like 85?
So was it stupid for the
WWE? I'm just saying these people are not professional singers. And I agree. I see your connection there. I mean, Jenna Maraska was coming into a wrestling company.
Yeah.
The thought of ever having to wrestle a match probably crossed her mind, I'm thinking, at one point. Jenna Maraska was also in a position where she probably could have said, I am not wrestling. Whereas here, I mean, you're talking about significant residuals and I don't know. I'm just saying.
If this, to me, if you're going to sell this in HMV, put it in the rack. Next to Nirvana, next to Celine Dion, I'm going to judge this like I would any other CD.
Okay, you're going to be the asshole this week. That's usually reserved for me. So Trish Stratus, instead of reviewing this entire CD on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a buy or sell on the song, okay? Would you buy this on iTunes or would you
sell it?
I guess that would not be the term. Buy or scroll down? I don't know.
Buy or I guess I wouldn't even download it, so I don't know what.
Just would you buy this single? I would not.
I would not buy any of these songs.
Oh, come on. You've got to buy something here.
No, I would not buy any.
This
of
is
these.
The last vestige of music. And you need a song to keep your iPod alive. You have to leave here with some songs.
So in the whole world,
if the song was free, if the song
sound,
was free, just download it.
Would I download it?
There is no way I would say no to all these songs. No way. There are some fun songs on this CD.
I agree with you that there are fun songs, but there are fun songs that exist. And I have very limited space on my iPod. Do I want to reserve it for?
Wow. What a
crossing
snob.
Borders.
Snob.
I'm the snob.
You are a snob. I'm at least open to this. You're just dismissing this CD.
There are fun songs, and we'll get to it, but let's keep going. We're still on the first song.
Whoa, before you get started, I have something to say.
That leads us to I Don't Suck by Kurt Angle. And beforehand, they interviewed some of the wrestlers, asked them what they thought Kurt Angle would do for a song. And Jericho thought he would do some Bruce Springsteen-inspired tune. Booker suggested a country song. And no, we get I Don't Suck, which was like a rap.
Yeah, I don't know. The way that they conceived a lot of these songs, it seemed to me like Jim Johnston had probably conversations with the wrestlers to find out what their music tastes were. And then Jim Johnston himself, a very impressive feat, he wrote all these songs.
This is, you know, say what you will about the quality of these songs, there is a wide range of what was written here. And Jim Johnston did a very, like, this is an impressive project for one guy to undertake.
Absolutely.
And unlike your typical record producer that probably would have 18 months to do this, I'm guessing he probably put this together in under two.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but yes, probably just very impressive nonetheless. But for some reason, it was decided that Kurt Angle would do a rap song.
Yes, he was basically going to play a dork on this song.
It's not really rap, though. It's more like spoken word.
Yes. It would be my rapping, and I thought I'd share some of the lyrics here.
Go for it.
It's like this body when wrapped in leather, perfection, and it gets no better. I rap like I wrestle, the envy of others, the only white rapper in tune with the brothers. Hello, Johnny. All eyes on me, and if I was you, best believe I'd keep my eyes on me. 200-plus pounds of a body splendid, braggadocious, oh-so-ferocious, focused. History suspended, skills uncontendable. Live at the top, attributes won't stop.
Vicious.
What does this even mean? Body wrapped in leather.
Body wrapped in leather. Oh, like he's
the Bastion belt should have been.
No, like he's got that. Like he's got a title belt. Isn't that what that means?
His body, not his waist.
Okay.
This was
This was amazingly, amazingly awful. Like, it was like, he couldn't rap on beat whatsoever, and there is actually a breakdown in the song where the beat just goes away. And it's like Jim Johnston had to make this beatless breakdown just for Kurt Angle to read a bunch of rhyming words together over top, because there's no way this guy could have stayed on beat. You have to play a bit of it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I didn't enjoy this song. I gave it an open mind.
So would this be a buy or sell?
This would be a sell.
You'd sell the song.
Kurt's got to sell for us.
What could you do that would ever scare me? All of you out there, I'm a dog, you're a flea.
So lame.
I've got it all, from head to toe. Looks, brains, class, you'll never know. Second place is the best you'll ever do. Be happy with that before I do worse to you.
Up next way, we've got your favorite, Crossing Borders by Rey Mysterio.
Life is hard, man, la vida es dura. Gotta believe in yourself, si dura. No es chiste, es mi cultura. Si yo puedo con alma pura. Rey Mysterio con mensaje serio. De su televisión, straight to your stereo. Cada persona tiene sueños. In order to move ahead, you gotta cross the border.
And this way, in a trivia note, the only song on this album to be used as the theme music for a pay-per-view, which it was done at No Way Out 2004. And Mysterio, this was rather funny. He says he's rapped a couple of times with his boys and notes his skills are definitely in the ring. But you see, this song has a double meaning to it because it plays on his own life, whether it be in high school or crossing the border to get to ECW or to Japan or WCW. He's been crossing borders and, quote, haters putting me down for my size and talent in the ring. Mm-hmm. I don't have any lyrics because it was all in Spanish and I didn't know what he was talking about.
This is like Ray's promos now. He speaks half in Spanish and half in English.
Well, because he's crossing the border. The song starts one place and ends in the other. And he's going back and forth.
It would be so inconvenient to, if this was my whole life, If in your daily life you have to speak in two languages, no matter what you're saying. Like, I would have to repeat this whole sentence in Cantonese.
Are we done with Rey Mysterio? This was a big sell.
Yeah, this was a very... This was no Psycho by Conan.
Oh, God. Up next, everyone, Stacey Keibler. Why can't we just dance?
Don't you just want to dance? Dance.
Now, listening to this song, which came out in 2004, had they cut off the first three words, we could have had a gigantic hit on our hands from Stacey Keibler.
Yeah,
Lady Gaga maybe heard Stacey Keibler, and that launched her own hit.
Absolutely, precursor to Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
Stacey Keibler.
There was Stacey Kaka.
This is a direct ripoff.
I noted here worst of the bunch thus far. Nervous girl trying to sing. Crazy reverb put on some of the lyrics. She noted the finished product will definitely reflect me. And Johnson states, you're going to want to dance when Stacey sings. And Keibler just ends it with, the finished product will be interesting.
Yeah,
I hated this one.
This is awful.
This is the worst one. She was like, at least Trish, she was nervous, but not to this degree. Stacey was like,
yeah,
on a stage for the first time,
yeah,
performing like stand-up and bombing.
You could actually hear it. Like, her voice, it's not... okay, I mean, I know they're not professional singers, or they don't have vocal cords vocal technique, but you can tell, like, her voice is very reserved, you know, when she's singing to the microphone. And I suppose Jim Johnston just did whatever he could with these vocals and just chopped them up and put a lot of effects over top, to loop them to create this electro pop dance thing, but it was not good. And what I think I would have preferred would actually be to hear more Stacey Keibler on this track. I don't think her personality came out at all. It was really just her voice being recorded and looped and like a robot.
Well, she doesn't want to sing. She just wants to dance.
Okay. Maybe some
title of the song.
Tap dancing. Maybe some dancing noises.
Talking forever, but at least we're together. Wanting to be with you more and more. Isn't it time to go to the floor? Floor specifically has a hyphen in it.
The floor.
Horrible song. Up next, the Dudley Boys, We've Had Enough.
We had enough of the what you coulda, the what you woulda, the what you shoulda done to avoid the unbeatable dogs and undefeatable too.
And Way, I did not have enough after listening to this song. This was, up until this point, my favorite song on the track. The Dudley Boys morphed into Cypress Hill and were like these badass, like...
This is not bad, actually.
Fucking... metal band. It was really good.
This is like a rap metal song.
Bubba talks about playing piano in 7th and 8th grade and wanting to grow up to either be a wrestler, a rock star, or a race car driver. And these two, this is what I enjoyed about this. I am not buying this album to, well, I'm not buying it, period. But if I was buying it, I would not have been doing it for quality music. I want camp, and I want quality camp, and this is what I got in this song.
I absolutely, absolutely, absolutely agree. And that was what was so fun about you know, the albums like Piledriver. It's, and about professional wrestling in general, it's about fun. It's not trying to take an actual wrestler and try to get the best vocal performance out of the guy. It's trying to convey the character and the fun, the funness of professional wrestling onto a CD. And this was good.
One slap, kick ass, bitch slap. For these punk asses ain't ready for war. These little bitches ain't ready to rise, and it's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Lights out, one tag, two tag, kaboom. Louder than fuck, and twice as tough. Like New York City, we ain't never giving up. A God-given package, ask all the women. Hard like steel, tougher than denim. And they also got this lyric in. I don't know if you noticed this, Way.
I did.
Now they wonder why me and Bubba blow them out. Next time, close your mouth. Now you're looking like New Jack, all flabby and sick.
Yes, a wrestler that they have.
This is like a legitimate rap song.
Yes.
Where they have a beef with a guy and call him out.
They diss New Jack on this song, a wrestler that they had legitimate beef with. And actually, I did some research in a YouTube shoot interview.
Yep.
New Jack explains his beef with the Dudleys, and he says what happened was they used to be all friends, all of them, Devon and him used to be boys. But in this shoot interview, he actually compares his relationship with Devon like the relationship between Tupac and Biggie. Devon disrespected New Jack by dating New Jack's ex. And then New Jack mentioned this song and then said Bubba was in a strip club afterwards and asked if New Jack was still in Philly. And then New Jack said Bubba is still afraid of him. And then he has some words for Devon about his divorce. He says the Dudley stole his camo look and stole his entrance music. And calls Devon an ass kisser, but we have a bona fide rap diss track.
But unlike Tupac and Biggie, this beef was squashed at Hardcore Justice.
That's right.
Where at the end of the match, they all hugged.
They all hugged.
So it was like a nice little rap feud tied up.
Always on the rest, think it could be like us, trying to take us down with just one punch. Now they wonder why me and Bubba blow them out. Next time, go for fucking close your mouth. Now you're looking like New Jack, Fabby and Sick, trying to play a hate on out. Yo, we had enough.
It was like Jay-Z and Nas when they made it.
There you go. Yep. So this was a heavy buy. The Dudley Boys, We've Had Enough.
I like this song. Yes.
I liked it a lot. Next was Can You Dig It? By Booker T.
You can find me to the stage, center of attention. Booker T's here like Ben Diesel's triple X. On a count of three, I want y'all to spit it. One, two, three, can you dig it?
Another rap song, Way.
Another rap song, yes. And is it any wonder that both black guys on the CD rap?
I guess you could claim a little stereotypical nature, but they also gave Kurt Angle a rap. John Cena rapped. Here's a little racial spreading out of the rap songs. Just saying. Booker talked about being booed off stage at the age of 19 when he forgot all the lyrics to his rap. And he came up with a freestyle right on the spot on this interview where every line ended in down. You're going to go down. I'm going to make you lay down. he then thought about in his next life he would be a musician. And he asks himself about winning a Grammy Award, and suddenly we get a flash frame before he gives his answer, which I imagine he just burst out laughing, actually contemplating winning a Grammy Award.
Booker T is perhaps the most mom-friendly rapper in the world. He has lines like, "Don't be fooled because he bruised. Booker T the type to come speak at your school.
Since Harlem Heat, hard to beat, WCW champ plus four repeats. Want to get down? You're going to lay down. When you lay down, you're going to stay down. Want to know about my life? It's an open book. Booker made a change, just like Mace." He's going to become a pastor, just like Mace.
Yeah. Throwing out his 90s references.
Wow. This was a nice effort.
This was fun, though. I mean, like, Booker T, just him going, yeah, 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 what? To me, like, it's funny.
Like Booker T.
Yeah.
Just as a person.
Yeah.
He's just a very knowledgeable guy, and just...
I don't know about that. You saw him on The Weakest
Link.
Sorry.
I'm talking about my world and fighting. This guy, if you've ever heard him talk about boxing and MMA...
Yes.
...knows his shit inside and out.
I agree.
Thanksgiving and holidays, not so much, but... I'm a Booker T fan.
Me too. I recommend everybody to go check out Dan's interview, Dan Lebransky's interview.
Yeah, we just chatted with him like about a month ago. It's a half hour, so some interesting stuff. I'd love to get him back on the show sometime. Anything more about Booker T here?
No.
Okay. That brings us to our guest from earlier tonight, Lita, When I Get You Alone.
Let's go.
All alone in my bed tonight, I find myself dreaming of all the things I might do to you and do for me behind closed doors where nobody else is safe.
Well, I'm sorry, John, but this, to me, was my least liked song on this CD. And I'm saying that speaking into the exact same microphone that this woman was speaking into earlier today.
She's still watching us.
She's right here.
Lita noted to Jim Johnson that she wanted a punk song. Quote, something easy like the Ramones or Green Day.
This is not it.
No. The Ramones and Green Day have never sang, "All alone in my bed tonight, I find myself dreaming of all the things I might do to you and do for me behind closed doors where nobody else will see. I know when I get you alone, there's going to be trouble. Just hope that I won't lose control." What's interesting here is that when she started singing and hearing the finished song, I don't think her vocals were on this at all. This did not sound like her in the least.
Okay, let's be honest. It sounded like a man.
Yeah. I don't know if this was a Kevin Dunn call or what, but as they were shooting her singing this, they did this ridiculous zoom in and out. I don't know if that's to emphasize punk being so out of control or what, but it was this constant zoom in, zoom out, like super quick.
Yeah.
And it was just, why are you doing that?
It's like a dance song. You have to build up the energy.
And Lita, of all these people, has actually gone on to be in a band, the Luchagors, and she noted in this she's played drums and bass and did her own backup vocals.
Yeah, but I think this was her first foray into singing, and it was awful. But in her defense, I actually checked out some of her Luchagors stuff. It's not bad. They have this song called White Boy that's actually really good. This is not a good fit for her, this song. This was like an Avril Lavigne type of thing, and she did not sound good, if you couldn't already
check
tell.
Out, in fairness, check out her Luchagors stuff, because I listened to that CD, and I was surprised.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to expect when it first came out a few years ago, but this was not a good reflection of that.
No.
This was a sell. But coming up was a big buy. Rikishi put a little ass on it.
Oh, listen, baby. Put a little ass on it. Like a baby, like a baby. Put a little ass on it. Feel the smooth.
This was our Barry White influence on the CD, way. Mm-hmm. Rikishi notes, this is a song for when you're going through hard times and that it's not the end of the world. You just have to put a little ass on it. And this song, it was, I don't know what this song was about, but the chorus was just this strange chorus about putting a little ass on it.
Yeah, how Rikishi...
Ass is a metaphor, I guess, for something.
For, I have no idea. But the production was nice on this. It was nice and smooth. Rikishi actually has a nice voice. And again, this song was fun. Mm-hmm. This fat man singing about ass in a very smooth, sexy way.
And see, this song was all kind of tongue-in-cheek about putting a little ass on it. Rikishi even brought back the term, the bomb, to describe this song. But then he talked about he used to rap with his late cousin Yokozuna, and that he did this song in remembrance of Yokozuna, which just seemed a little out of place.
I'd like to dedicate this song
to Yokozuna. And some of the lyrics for this. This world is crazy, holding on tight, trying hard just to keep control. Don't let go, but don't worry, baby. I'll show you tonight a way to soothe your soul. Come on, baby, let's go. Oh, I know you're aching, baby, but I'm going to hold you tight until you stop all this shaking. This is a fun song. I enjoyed it. Big buy.
Yeah, I agree. If I was to buy any of the songs, I think this would be it. I like it.
We go to a bit with Steve Austin, where he's just tearing apart Johnson. This was all in character, and I didn't understand it.
It was just for skits lined out throughout the CD. The storyline was that Jim Johnston had written a song for Stone Cold, and played it for Stone Cold, but Stone Cold didn't like it. So then they would just go back and forth throughout the CD. Stone Cold would eventually beat up Jim Johnston and knock a beer can over his head.
Yeah. Los Guerreros, Chavo and Eddie were up next with We Lie, We Cheat, We Steal.
Wanna ride in our garage? We got the Latin.
Him to the Doobie Brothers, and Chavo says to be more current with his references, and this was pretty much their theme song.
Yeah, actually, yes, you're right. It really was.
Yeah,
that's... I didn't think about that, but this was another one of the performance on the CD that I actually quite enjoyed. And again, this just felt fun. It was them being in their characters. Even though that they sing completely offbeat, their delivery is just funny and enjoyable, you know?
Pretty simple track.
Go ahead.
And they finished off with Chris Jericho, who they kind of had built up with everyone noting what Chris Jericho was going to do. He is, like, at this point especially, the only kind of legit singer at this point, because he had been doing Fozzy for about 5 years up until this point.
Yeah, there are a couple songs that they... this was not the last song, so there are a couple...
Oh, so on the DVD, this is all we went up to.
Right.
The song was Don't You Wish You Were Me.
And don't you wish you were me, the king of all you see. And don't you wish you were me, it ain't that easy. And don't think you'll ever be everything a man should be. Cause don't you wish you were me? Keep dreaming, you'll never be me.
Jericho comes into the studio, he discusses doing polka, opera, or ska, and then he goes into warm-up exercises for this song. He even grabs a maraca and talks about how the middle word is rock, and he wants to use a maraca for his song. What did you think of this song, Wei? Compared to other Fozzy tunes, if you've heard them.
I have, and I don't think Chris Jericho is a good singer at all. I think there's a reason why he was eliminated first on that celebrity karaoke show. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good singer. I don't think he has a good voice. He's just, he's famous, and he's a good front man, but sorry.
Big didn't sell like it. From Way.
I didn't like it. I know you went to see Fozzy in concert. What did you think?
I've always found Fozzy fine. Their show at Tattoo a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. it was fun. I had a good time.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were there other songs you wanted to check? One's not included on this. Lillian Garcia's You Just Don't Know Me At All.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to listen to it at all?
No.
It was sort of like an Evanescence thing. And to me,
she's also a legit singer. She's put out a few, at least one album.
Oh, I agree. And she's got a beautiful, beautiful voice. But to me, she sang this like rock song. And she just sounded so unnatural singing over these bad distorted guitars. Just layers and layers of reverb to a voice. I don't know why they decided to do this type of genre for her. It just seemed very unfitting.
John Cena's Basic Thuganomics, that was just his old theme song at the time.
That's right.
He's another one who would come out with a CD in 2005.
Yeah. I like the song. I like it.
It's a good theme song.
Yeah.
And it was like, legitimately, he put this song together. He was given a theme song, mm-hmm. and it sucked. And
it was scratching.
He asked if he could go home and like produce it on his own. And him and his cousin, The Trademark, put that song together.
No, it was actually a Boston rapper named Esoteric, I believe.
Oh, is it not a...
No, The Trademark was the guy that he did the CD with, and I think he does the current theme song with him. But this was a Boston underground rapper named Esoteric. And I just noted here, I actually like John Cena's verse more than Esoteric's verse. His lyrics are witty and good. So, I mean, you have lines like, never survive this, get forget like Alzheimer's, two-faced rappers, walk away with four shiners, the raw rhymer, turning legends to old-timers, mine scissors like a viper, biting through your one-liners.
This was Cena's lines?
This was Cena.
Yeah.
But I sense a lot of influence from other songs that are out there. I'm not saying he ripped anybody off, but I hear very similar phrases to, in particular, lines from the Wu-Tang classic Triumph. You have John Cena rapping things like, ass-shaking or ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam, holding camps for ransom. And you have You God on Wu-Tang, a death kiss, catwalk, squeeze another anthem, hold it for ransom. Just lines like that. Esoteric does the second verse, and he's a very good rapper, but I think he went too technical for something like this. He did a lot of rhyming within his rhymes themselves, and while it's very impressive, I think it went over the heads of a lot of people who would end up buying the CD, and I personally always preferred more straightforward flows than rappers who really wanted to impress with complexity and ignoring rhythm of words. So I thought Cena sounded better than the other guy.
Yep. So that's, I believe, all of the tracks, correct?
Yes.
So overall, Way, is this a buy or sell album? I would say sell.
Sure.
My favorite track is the Dudleys. I enjoyed their song.
I like the Rikishi song.
Yeah, the Rikishi one was good too. So there are some good ones on this, and a fun little CD if you're out there. By all means, illegally download this if you want to hear some more, because I imagine it's not available in stores or anywhere.
Probably is.
It'd be hard to find, I would think. Maybe on eBay.
Okay.
Maybe. So we're going to continue our musical-themed edition of Review Away with our R-Truth contest that Way came up with, and we had a number of you... respond here.
Why don't we do that at the end? Why don't we just go through the feedback first?
Okay, sure. We'll save that for the end, and we'll get into feedback right now. Let's start with Marco Bartholomew. Some time ago, I was watching an old Nitro, 96 or 97 maybe, and I was shocked to hear Goldberg's theme Invasion start to play, as Goldberg wasn't on the scene yet. It was used by an Asian wrestler whose name I can't recall right now. Apparently someone at WCW liked it and filed it away for future use. Well, as we mentioned, they probably... did not file it away, they just stole it.
Sure. Jordan Ducharme, Doug the Review Show. I can't believe how different wrestling would be if the heads of the companies were competent. Also, Rush fucking sucks. They might be popular, but so is Britney Spears. Doesn't make her good either. There's a lot of backlash this week against the people.
The pro-Rush.
The pro-Rush.
The anti-Rush people. Fans. Matter James writes, just to bring up a point about Alex Wright's theme, I don't believe it is copyrighted, as I've heard it numerous times during the sports highlights on the new VR, now A-Channel. There's another WCW pay-per-view, I believe the one where Bischoff calls out McMahon, where Bret Hart is given the shitty techno music.
Mm-hmm. Bren Briesbaugh, for some reason I'm surprised that Jim Johnston produces all the hip-hop beats that WWE uses, except R-Truth's. It's crazy that the same guy who produced Sexy Boy and all the... That was Jimmy Hart,
yeah.
Bro. And all the corny 80s and 90s rock songs they used also did Thuganomics. Not that it's all that great. I don't know if he did Thuganomics either. Not that it's all that great, but it sounds like late 90s, early 2000s underground hip-hop that I used to listen to a lot. If it was to say non-fiction rapping on that song, it easily could have fooled me. Okay. Yeah, he did do a lot of rap songs, though.
Yeah. Why is it...
Silk the Shocker.
Well, yeah. Why are you surprised that Jim Johnston can write rap songs? Nate Milton. Great work on the Road Wild review. I always remember being struck by the awesome visual of the ring being surrounded by a sea of bikers. Unfortunately, the in-ring work and the weak crowd couldn't live up to the setting. Also, I had blocked Leno's involvement in the main event out of my memory banks. Just one more reason to hate Leno. Wow, I had three of my posts read during the feedback section, and they got progressively less interesting. I feel overexposed and overrated. Is this how The Miz feels on a daily basis? I have newfound sympathy for the guy.
Tom Grace, thank you guys for another great show, and bring Jersey Shore to my attention. Bringing. I just finished season one, and I'm not caught up with season two. It has been quite enjoyable. Since WWE is going with a six-pack challenge for Night of Champions, would you guys be able to review the six-pack Hell in the Cell match from Armageddon 2000?
Travers Cummings, I'm so glad John read my posting from last week. Listening to him try to pronounce and butcher the name of... How do you say it?
Vegeta.
Vegeta. And Saiyan? Scion? Jesus Christ, who cares? Thank you for correcting him, by the way. I can't remember who it was that mentioned reviewing the Raw from Winnipeg, but I attended both that and the SmackDown tapings the next day. I was hoping we would get another Raw or SmackDown taping, but ever since then, all we've gotten are house shows. As usual, I enjoyed your tear-apart of the WCW pay-per-views. Keep the good work up.
Faz Iqbal, TNA questions. Does anyone get annoyed when JB calls it a ladies' match rather than a women's match?
No.
I enjoy TNA because I never watched the Monday Night Wars in their prime. I have read about, but it's nice seeing what I missed. And if WCW/TNA did it again, this is what they would change. What? The fuck? This is what they would change. I think Sting is awesome. One of the main reason I watch TNA is for Sting. What's happened to Chili tweets on Raw? Why hasn't Law mentioned it in the news report of the show? Chili for 900th guest host. Oh, God.
There was not one period in that entire
email. Some of these are tough.
Rohan writes, just done listening to the show this week, and I gotta ask, what's the deal not reading my feedback? Do you guys pick and choose which feedback you read? Yes. I know it sounds petty. I know I am a mark to hear my own comments on the air. I was defending the reviews of Jersey Shore, telling the haters to fuck off. I was defending you. If you claim that you're going to read all the feedback, please do it. I'm sorry, I'm not a character. And he goes on here. I was having a really shitty day, and I was hoping to hear my stuff good, bad, or indifferent. I know my feedback was in before the Thursday recording, so as a valued member, less valued now, I assume, of this group, please give fair and equal treatment of all feedback. Is it ironic that I'm listening to Eminem Stan as I write this? Weird. To paraphrase Sheiky Baby, aside from that, everything was good. Oh, my.
Alex R. Stephanie T. I read the Jersey Shore review. I don't watch the show, and I won't, but if you guys review it... Oh, what? Okay. I don't watch Jersey Shore, and I won't, but if you guys review it, I'll listen to it. Those who don't like, then... pause or stop the show as soon as the guys review Raw. Oh, what? Okay. Fuck you all who complain about it. In regards to the show this week, God damn it, John, that's got to be the worst track ever. And always, great show. Can't wait for this week's review.
On to the next one here. Michael Howard Jr. When you talk about watching on YouTube 24/7, what are you referring to? I would love to use this service. Also, you guys should review some more old WWF. I would love to see something from 94. SummerSlam was great. King of the Ring was good as well. King of the Ring 93 would also be wonderful. Love the Road Wild review. Well, 24/7 or Classics On Demand is an on-demand service that we get here in Canada and the U.S. of watching old wrestling.
Yeah,
I guess you don't get it.
You pay a monthly subscription fee for it. It's a channel offered by your cable station, and then you can just at any time choose from a menu any match or event that they put up that you want to watch.
An amazing service.
Daniel Longworth, that Raw was awful. Just awful. Is Wade Barrett now a babyface? Is being in the six-pack challenge his title shot? What was with that piped-in crowd noise? Jesus Christ, this was just fucking awful.
Oh, that was a negative review. Justin Foe, John, I did some research, and the worst match of 98, in fact, went to Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior from Halloween Havoc, which after seeing both, I think is the worst match. The worst times wrestling match I've ever watched. That's what it says. As for next week, should be interesting to see you guys reviewing a CD. Keep up the good work.
Daniel Longworth again. I just watched both matches on YouTube back-to-back, and I'll give the nod to Warrior Hogan as the worst match. It was 14 minutes of pure hell. They did two arm twist spots. They botched the fireball spot. They botched the Hogan elbow spot. It was a mess. The flurry of punches thrown by both men were as bad as I've ever seen. Just awful.
Travis Cummings, I know you guys do a lot during the week, but I really wish you guys could be on the air every day. The highlight of this week's review has to be John talking about Tamina's blowjob simulation. I didn't realize that's what it looked like until after I heard John talk about it. Listening to you guys inspires me to go out and start my own wrestling radio show, but then I'd have to actually go to school again, which I don't really want to do. Jersey Shore was kind of boring this week. I'm so sick of how dumb Sammy is, but thanks to the email, it looks like she will finally figure out that Ronnie was messing around with her.
Christopher Kunkel, not surprising, but I have received a few hate messages for posting that I'm currently in Afghanistan. For all the haters, I have just one thing to say. I am trained on and frequently fire a belt-fed automatic grenade launcher. Your argument is invalid. By the way, I only know two or three Rush songs because of the radio play and Rock Band. Not my scene, but I'm not going to argue that they have made a killing. In response to your review on Road Wild 98, there is a reason that the announce team sound absolutely clueless. It all points back to Eric Bischoff. Bischoff always liked the whole spontaneity thing, especially when it came to the announce team. So the announcers were not allowed to sit in on the booking meetings and were not even given a rundown for the show. So they found out about everything at the exact same time the audience did. By the way, Way, I just finished The Death of WCW, and it is an absolutely awesome read. If you liked it, you should check out WrestleCrap, The Worst of Pro Wrestling. It's by Artie Reynolds, the co-author of Death of WCW, and has some tongue-in-cheek style to it. Much love, and it's hot as Satan's asshole out here.
What fuckers would actually email him?
I don't know.
That's so lame. Michael Howard Jr., Warehouse 13, this show must be reviewed. It was ridiculously horrible. However, the payoff was worth it. Dash and Cody Rhodes making out with the main character while Savage Garden plays in the bar. Now that is dashing. Instant classic.
That sounded like a review to me right there. Simple as that.
We're done.
Jack Pisco, hey, John and Way, great review of Road Wild. I remember watching this originally, and I thought overall it was a great pay-per-view. I didn't recall how terrible the Mongo-Brian Adams match was, so at John's insistence, I watched it again. It was bad, but I would suspect all of Mongo's matches were like that. I did laugh at the brother-versus-brother angle for the Steiners. I believe before this, Scott would always have an excuse to get out of a match with Rick, so for me it was always interesting how he would do it. On a sad note, being a purist at the time, I sat through the concert at the end of the show in case any else was going to happen. Travis Tritt, no offense, but you didn't gain a fan that night. Instead, a wrestling cynic was born.
Ron Zawacki. My favorite part of Review Away is when a wrestler will scream something and John Pollock does his imitation of someone shouting. The John Pollock scream voice is my favorite part of the show.
My favorite, too.
Well, thank you, everyone.
David Cicero. To clear up my last comment I put here, I have listened to all of your shows and enjoyed pretty much all of them. I say I've been a fan for a month now due to the fact that I didn't get an iPod until a month ago. Don't judge. And that's when I started listening to The Law and Review Away. tough. Like, who? No one cares. Come on, man. Thank you for listening. But who cares if you're a new listener or a recent listener? You listen. That's fun. That's great. Thank you. In regards to the WWE original CD, I have to admit that there are actually a few tracks on here that I enjoy. I love the Lillian and Lita songs and have probably listened to them more than any other song on the CD. I enjoy the Angle, Booker, and Los Guerrero songs when I'm in a need for a good laugh. And the Cena, Dudley Boys, Mysterio, Jericho, and Stratus songs are fairly good as well, but not necessarily what I would choose to listen to. Keep the shows coming, and I think to celebrate the return of Bryan Danielson to WWE television, you guys should do a review of 2009's Glory Before Dishonor 7 show, where he had lost his last Ring of Honor match.
Yeah, we've reviewed Ring of Honor in the past, and it's straight wrestling, and I find it harder to review, mainly because, as well, the majority of you guys listening have probably not seen the event. They're very long, and there's less to comment on. We're talking about... I was fine doing the last Ring of Honor review we did. I kind of enjoyed just kind of the storylines within the matches, but I don't know if that many people are interested in stuff they're not familiar with.
Yeah, especially...
Correct me if I'm wrong out there, but I think...
Like, the wrestling's actually good, so it's
that's
tough
the thing,
to really
like, when we reviewed When Worlds Collide, it's like, what can we really talk about? This is, like, one of the best pay-per-views of all time. Richard Lee, hey guys, good job on the Road Wild review. Caught the 24/7 feed on YouTube, and yes, that was a very bad show and a good example of WCW's bad decisions in the late 90s. Now the lyric contest. Did you get this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So... Well, that's my white guy rapper attempt. Hope you guys try to rap it. I should have read through this.
Ultima Shkazdar. Hey, guys. Thanks for the great review of Road Wild. I'd love to hear you guys review that other bastion of great pay-per-view wrestling, Bash at the Beach 98, with Rodman and Hogan, backed up by Ed Leslie, sporting the Dog the Bounty Hunter, Skullet, taking on DDP and Carl Malone. Keep up the good work.
Not sure if that's the match or if it was another Bash at the Beach where Dennis Rodman fell asleep during the match. On the
turnbuckle. Yeah.
Robert McNulty. Hey, guys, great review of Raw this week. Always amazed when you can make an awful show sound somewhat okay. But more important than that, please keep doing the Jersey Shore reviews. Even though MTV here in Ireland hasn't started season 2 yet, I still enjoy them. But I got the impression this week you are getting bored of the same old feuds and storylines, a bit like WCW back in the day. Maybe they just need a new booker. Vince Russo would be in heaven on the shore. No wrestling ring getting in the way of the storylines. Anyway, fingers crossed. Keep up the good work.
And we got Evan Harden. Road Wild 98. How ironic is it that you guys review the same show that I posted on the discussion board out of a randomness that I was in the middle of watching?
Zero.
If my memory serves me correct, you guys reviewed Great American Bash 2000 and I put... Okay, I don't care. Cares. Despite the pure hatred you and Wei show for this pay-per-view, I'm totally going the opposite way with this and giving it an 8 out of 10.
Insane.
Despite the crappy booking and editing on WWE 24/7. Yes, Wei and John, I did watch the YouTube version of this pay-per-view just like you guys. I found it to be quite entertaining. I enjoyed the main event as well. It may not have been the greatest match involving a celebrity, but I kind of defend Jay Leno's behalf on Jay Leno's behalf and say he was a lot better than some of our guest host matches from 2009. The one big concern I had with this pay-per-view was that they should have put Goldberg in the main event instead of DDP. Goldberg, before this pay-per-view, was given a huge push by defeating Hollywood Hulk Hogan for the WCW Championship on a historic episode of Nitro. I thought that they should have kept heat between the two and generate more heat from it.
Or generate money and put it on pay-per-view. Moshi Sidero. Funny thing, I've heard last week's review of SummerSlam, and Wei says there's something like, if you are from Germany, or I don't know Israel, and you heard about Rush, let John know. Well, funny thing, I am from Israel, and I've heard of Rush. So there you go. What do you say about that?
I mean, I named those countries because I knew like we have listeners. I know Shy lives in Israel, and now I know Moshi. Please correct me. I apologize. Now I know we have another listener from Israel.
Thanks for listening,
Ahmad. Dear John Wei, I'm sorry for this long feedback, but I hope you guys will read it on the air. My thoughts on Raw. Could WWE do any worse of a job with Nexus over the last week? I noticed they edited up much of Cena's comedy and spots that made Nexus look weak. So why even bury Nexus last week in the first place? Miz and Danielson is pure money in WWE's Ronnie and situation from Season 1. Wade will win the belt at Night of Champions. Anyone else notice how buried Morrison has been? Future endeavored within a year. I noticed and appreciated the in-studio post-production commentary throughout the show. Fire the Divas.
It's random.
I read somewhere that they've announced that they will end the Nexus thing in October?
It's scheduled to end in October, and they're shopping it around right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much life there is anymore. And then just Jersey Shore. Okay. I'll read it. While I love the Jersey Shore, like the Alliance angle from 2001, I lost all interest in Sammy and Ronnie. The creeping, smushing, and lying is getting as tired as EV 2.0. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but Snooki and Ronnie would tell Emilio that she's cheated on Emilio. If Sammy found out via Snooks about Ron's dirty dealings, Ronnie's a classic heel. I hope she has cheated just so everyone else in the world begins to hate her, like I've learned to do since the first episode of last season. God, I hope Ron puts her into a go-go plot and submits that bitch. Violent much? Thanks for the update on the iTunes situations. P.S. Fuck Rush. Long live the greatest band in the world, Baroness. P.P.S. Can I suggest a review of SummerSlam 2002 versus Brock versus Rock? One of my favorite pay-per-views of all time.
All right, we'll keep going here. Alex Watts. Every time you review a WCW pay-per-view, it's a treat for me. My mom got me that pay-per-view, and I remember at the time I thought it was so exciting when one of the Public Enemy jumped off that support. I remember taping that event and watching that part over and over again. Now that I saw it again, I thought it looked retarded. Great job, though. Can't wait for more WCW. So thanks to everybody for your feedback. There was a plentiful amount there that we enjoy getting from all of you, and we do our best to get to all of your feedback. We do have certain limitations. You can go post at reviewaway.com, reviewaway.com, and we're now going to get into our musical contest. Wait.
Yeah, so how I thought we should do this was we would
I'm going to be bad at this, so I'll just practice with that.
Oh, listen, we both will. We both will. I'm a rap fan, but I mean...
I can't follow a beat, so I'm just going to like read to the best of my ability here.
And how would you want to pick a... Pick a winner here. I guess we'll just kind of go through and then.
I'm gonna let you choose the winner because I'll give my feedback at the end. But I think you should have the ultimate.
You know what? We'll see. We'll see because it's tough to pick. There's some very choice selections. But anyway, here we go.
You go first.
All right. Here we go. This one's from Carlo Rossi, our faithful listener, and I guess we'll just hit it.
Whenever you're ready,
boy.
I'm following your lead.
Nook and J-Wow, D-cups. All the chicks in the house wearing bras that push up. D-cups. 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 Polly and Situation got it made. They creep all the time and smush the grenades. D-cups. 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 That was not bad. Still
all right.
Jersey Shore themed rap.
Dale Perry.
All right, here you go, John.
Have you heard of me? I suck. I suck. Yeah, you heard right. I suck. I've had four names. They sucked. Barely noticed it in two companies. That sucked. Was a member of 3-5 Crew. It sucked. My name is Kate Crush. No wait. My name is Kate Quick. No wait. My name is Ron Killings. No wait. My name is R-Truth and I suck.
It didn't even...
I can't follow
yeah,
a beat.
No, it was not your fault. That one didn't even fit the rhyme scheme at all. Okay. Okay,
Carlo's ahead right now.
Nick Madset. Here's his rhyme.
Why do I get all the long fucking
An exemplary lines? Man without any competition. Rapping incoherently is my mission. Stoic and esoteric, I wander the road. My splits will knock you out cold.
Stoic and esoteric.
These are just rhymes. You have to fit the R-Truth rhyme scheme.
All right. Richard Holm. The law's just finished. It's time for Review Away. Joe Po and Wu Ting tearing the shit up all day. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Pollock's drinking coffee. Wu Ting's drinking the Kool-Aid. Benoit's on more shows than Snooki gets laid. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Mindless chair shots and Scott Putski awards. Stop the Jersey Shore review. It's making me bored. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Way won't tell us what SMC stands for. John don't give a fuck because he's hardcore. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Review Away. Pollock wants to stroke the Undertaker's crow, but Way scream, it's a vulture, bitch. That's for show. Review Away.
Review Away.
Review Away. Review Away. Review Away.
That was good.
Okay.
Hard.
Okay, we've got two candidates.
Yeah, that was good.
Next is Brendan West.
Brendan West. People over the world, what's up? Just click the link and download this shiz. Wait up. Wait up. Wait up. Wait up. Reviewing crappy wrestling that no one else will touch, never knowing whether Benoit will show up or maybe a chair shot. Wait up. Wait up. Wait up. Wait up. Recycling old WCW and... Oh.
Oh, there we go. Brendan West gets to
ran out of
cut
beat.
Off.
All right. This is the second portion of Brendan West's theme. Okay. Recycling old WCW and even WWF, but TNA Wrestling, get the fuck out. Wait up. Wait up. They don't even run. Want to hear about crappy wrestling? This is where it's at. Wait up. Wait up.
Ron Zawacki. I'm the non-threatening African-American guy on Raw. What's up? What's up? I got to put it on my pants so the black thinks I'm tough. What's up? What's up? Had the same gimmick and song since TNA. My dreads aren't effeminate like John Pollock. They're manly like Way. What's up? What's up?
Shia Avigan from Israel. Straight from the streets. Yeah. Pollock and Wei Ting are back. If you feel it, join the group and the feedback. Review. Away. With John. And Wei. With John. And Wei. You can get with this. Reviewing Jersey Shore. Is Benoit on the show? Oh, Jopo, that's for sure. Review Away. With John. And Wei. John's been skipping and jumping, admitting he's a coffee addict, and way somewhere, just sleeping in his attic. They read all comments till their wheels fall off, only to find out, fuck, the mic's turned off. Watching Mongo wrestle, it ain't so simple. Way cares for divas fight, only with the bearing of a nipple. Stating their claim to fame, turning shit into gold, it ain't no shame. And they haven't even started yet. You better believe they're gonna yank another chilly tweet. Review Away with John and... Way. Pollock and Wei Ting are back. If you feel it, join the group and the feedback. Review Away with John and Way.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
That was good. That was a good one, too.
All right, here we go with Jack Pisco. Crappy pay-per-views, watch out. Incoherent promos and angle, watch out. John and Way are here, dissing shit that comes near, and that their claim to fame, the best reviewers alive in the podcast game. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. John is a last angry fan, doesn't like Rush, slamming fools down, melting ice to slush, calling out bullshit, having no remorse, dumb gimmicks better hide, gonna shut you down the deadly force. Wei Ting, his partner in crime. When angles go bad, he'll slap them down in time. Man, a few words and doesn't need the front. But when he gets mad, shit about to get blunt.
Oh.
Jack Pisco.
Jack Pisco. Coming through. Next, we got Ahmad Buttons. Stepping up. Here we go. Shake, rattle, and rollin' like the D-O-double-G. You ain't ever seen a pro like me since good old Mean Gene. Smushin' and creepin' like Sitch, Ron, Vin, and D. Like it's all I know. Up for some late-night BK. Leaves my bowels worse than the Big Show. Oh, God. You best believe I got more charisma than that waste of a push, Ted DiBiase Jr. Million dollar man? Now you just a million dollar boy with a bitch ass tan. Super Cena ain't even see me yet. Why? Cause I'd be dropping fools on TNA Wrestling on Spike TV at 9 PM Eastern Time. What's up? What's up? What's up?
Next we've got DJ2112, aka Richard Lee. What's the illest show on the web? What's up? Review Away is where it's at. What's up? Pay-per-views and random TV. What's up? Heat and kayfabe for you and me. What's up? J-Po's a total caffeine freak. The Joe's every day. Once he up and quit, he got a massive mind ache. What's up? What's up? Way watches Dragon Ball Z. Maybe the dopest fan. He'll camel ham ha you. I don't know what the fuck that means. Into another deadly lifespan. What's up? What's up? Recapping the illest shows and the tales from the pit. Sorting the bling bling gold from old ass shit. But if you talk cow smack about the massive Jersey Shore, then they will be the rhino and you'll be the gore. What's up? And finally.
Finally, we have longtime listener of Live Audio Wrestling, Karsten School, closing out. And once...
It's all cut off.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Here we go. This will be tough. Listeners of the law, what's up? If you're down with John and Way, let me tell you what's up. Way's up. John's up. Jay's up. Mouth's up. Teaming with the dog, thought a run was sick. His ass got fired, no more tween. Team, now I'm just a jobber, quick. What sucked? Who sucked? I sucked. You sucked. The Fed, they sent me packing. Pumped to the competition. Run to... Oh, God. Yeah, it's all cut off. Stuck with TNA as my career falls off. I'm teaming up with Pac-Man. Russo's brain is getting soft. Now I'm R-Truth, but my shit is all the same. Pretend I'm from the street, but the street is Sesame. Take Cena, make Cena look like Biggie. Even John Cena's more... Even John's more black than me. I've got no claim to fame. I'm tame. Just another failed prospect in the mid-card game. I'm no suntan Superman. I suck worse than Aquaman. Even Virgil's been upstaging me. Career's in the can. It's up. Time's up. Rhyme's up. Shut up. Peace. Sorry, Carson. The formatting was all wrong. Otherwise...
Oh, my.
Anyway. Let's put an end to this.
Wow, this was a...
Oh.
Well, that was fun.
This was tough.
So, Way, I found, you know, I found the shorter ones were the more effective ones.
Yeah.
Carlos stood out for me. What other ones did we like here?
I enjoyed Richard Holmes, and I also enjoyed...
Shies was good.
Shies was good.
Carsten's was written well. Formatting kind of...
Yeah,
part.
I liked the DJ2112's was good too. So, out of those ones, why don't you make a pick and I'll make a pick? How about that?
All right, I need to review this.
I made my decision. I am going to go with Line simply because Way watches Dragon Ball Z, maybe the dopest fan. He'll kamehameha you into another deadly lifespan.
Who was that?
This was DJ2112, aka Richard Lee. Congratulations.
All right, let's go with Richard Lee. I liked his last line. They will be the rhino, and you'll be the gore.
All right, but so, all of you guys, I think you all did a good job, and thank you all.
This is impressive.
For even
I didn't know what our feedback to this would be, but that was a very strong finish to the show, everybody. So congratulations to DJ2112. And you are a victor. What do they win, Way?
Well, I don't know what you got. Maybe it's something music themed.
Okay, we'll figure something out. We'll let you know Tuesday what you won. I don't know what we've got. So we'll finish up the show here, everyone. Before we end, I wanted to do some shameless self-promotion. If you're in the Toronto area, or just even you can listen online, Jason Agnew and myself are going to be on News Talk 1010 starting tonight, Monday, all the way through Friday for the week. From 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're in Toronto, it's 10:10 a.m. on your dial on terrestrial radio.
And if you're on the internet,
you can go to newstalk1010.com and listen live. We encourage you. We've got a Facebook group. It's called The Late Shift. And you can join the Facebook group. We've got a Twitter. It's at Late Shift 1010.
Tuesday is when you'll have Trish Stratus, right?
Tuesday we're going to have Trish Stratus. It's not a wrestling show or an MMA show. It's more just kind of general talk, discussion, and kind of a different kind of angle on the news that's going on. So check it out. Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern, it debuts, and we're airing all week long, Monday through Friday, newstalk1010.com.
Will you be accepting phone calls on the
Absolutely,
show?
Absolutely. If you want to call in, we'd love to get some phone calls from you, chat with whoever you'd like. We're going to be having a number of guests on, including Hugh Dillon, who you might know from Flashpoint, currently on CTV. He's in Hardcore Logo. We've got the Todd from Scrubs, who's going to be appearing, Trish Stratus, and working on a bunch of different guests. Matt Dusk is going to be on one night, so tune in Monday night, and you can join our Facebook group, The Late Shift, on News Talk 1010. But we'll finish it up here, Way. Next week's review, we go back to my pick now, and tonight is the 900th episode of Raw, Way. It's hard to believe there have been 900 episodes, and the WWE has celebrated a number of their big achievements, and I was currently in the, well, at least last week, was moving. And I've gone through a lot of my old tapes. And the other day I found the Raw 10th anniversary show from 2003.
Excellent.
And I thought, let's go back and look, which took place in 2003, February of 2003. And they did a big awards ceremony for it and everything. So we'll take a look at that.
Hard to believe that it's already been, what, 7 years since then?
Yeah, 7 years.
I can't believe it.
So they continue to move on, 900 episodes and counting, Way. Uh-huh. So next week we'll review the 10th anniversary episode, and we will continue to take your feedback. Go to reviewaway.com. And Way, on this musical-themed edition, how are we going to end this?
Well, I did not enjoy Lita's performance at all on this WWE original CD, but I loved her performance on The Law, and in honor of her performance on this very program, I'd like to go out with the Luchadors and a song that I actually enjoy. It's called White Boy.